Chapter 14. Ulanor, Gorkagrod. And at the end, we must face the fact that immortality is a greater burden than mortality. The long death, a slow diminishing of meaning. Why curse us with the knowledge, with the fate that we would outlive all that we built? Did he think to outfox entropy itself? Was it a pain that he had to share? Companions for eternity, empty totems raised up in memory of those lost in the mists of 500 lifetimes. And now, I am the one that stands alone, and I can take no more of it. There is no healing the wounds of the soul. Stealth had to be sacrificed for speed on occasion. Gore-drenched, Beast Cruel's chameleoline had been of little effectiveness for the past hour anyway. With this thought, he dropped out of the duct he had been using, landing in a clean, whitewashed corridor. Oddly clean for orcs, he thought. Chanting echoed from both directions, slow but forceful. The Orc Palace complex, factory, cathedral and fortress combined, was vast, but he could hear the muted rumble of detonations which told him that the other Imperial forces were getting ever closer. Even if he could not strike down the great beast before they arrived at the gates to the citadel, the assassin's presence would cause confusion and indecision, which would aid the Adeptus Astartes and their allies in their final onslaught. A pair of orcs turned a corner ahead, and he opened fire with the alien weapon he had salvaged from his last victim, gunning them down in a flare of rapid energy blasts. Moving past their smouldering corpses, he turned towards the echoing roar of orc voices. Another greenskin emerged from a doorway right in front of him, gnawing at a bone with its chisel fangs. It barely had time to grunt its surprise before his stiletto pierced its chest. The orc lashed out. Cruel's blade was still wedged into its ribs. Its fists cracked against the side of the assassin's head, dazing him. Cursing the resilience of all greenskins, Beast Cruel pulled himself free of the hands grasping for his throat and retaliated with a hammer blow punch of his own, caving in the top of its skull and brain. Stepping over the corpse, Cruel noticed in detached fashion that the food still gripped in its fist looked like a small greenskinned arm, a couple of fingers attached with bloody sinew at one end. The corridor took him to a large balcony overlooking a hangar-like space. Half a dozen orcs leaned on a metal rail as they looked into the depths. At one end of the vast hall was a statue made of overlapping metal plates, heavily riveted, in the form of a giant, squatting orc. It was covered head to foot in heavy armour, its fists clad in clawed gloves the size of battle tanks. The walls were stone, made of large blocks, each carved with an orc glyph. A story of the rise of the great beast, perhaps. There were more galleries above, below, and opposite, lined with bellowing orcs. The aliens were all as large as nobles, or bigger, many of a size to match the archive descriptions of army warlords. They were heavily armed and armoured, bearing the blazon of the red fist he had seen on banners and walls across the palace. And below were thousands more, perhaps tens of thousands, a sea of gigantic alien beasts. They chanted and grunted in unison, waving their weapons, whipped into a zealous frenzy by some unseen orator at the end of the massive space. The huge cathedral shook with stamping feet, and the girder-vaulted ceiling rang with a deafening shout of praise. Cruel staggered back until his spine touched the cold stone of the wall. Through the fog of stimulants, the raging orcs were a sea of brutal monsters, their chants distant but deafening. He had expected an elite guard, but the creatures that thronged the hall were terrifying, far beyond the plans of Vangarich. To the orcs, might made right, and the creature that ruled over such a mass of alien nightmares had to be mightier than anything the Imperium had encountered for an age. With cold dread washing away the vestiges of the stim fugue, Beast Cruel realized that his mission was impossible. Worse still, the entire endeavour could not possibly succeed, not against such a force defending a near-impregnable fortress. The Lord Commander, the Lord Primarch, tens of thousands of space marines and soldiers would die before ever setting foot near the great beast. Thought after thought raced through the assassin. Years of training and experience crumbled when confronted by the sheer horror of the great beast's power. How could the Imperium possibly win against such alien fury incarnate? The war was folly. There was no triumph to be had, only the slim chance of survival. His breathing became ragged, the tension and fatigue of days crowding into his weary body, all resolve dissipating at the sight of the task ahead. One of the greenskins, just a few meters from Beast Cruel, sniffed the air heavily and turned its flat head towards him. At the same moment, something large eclipsed the light behind Cruel. Instinct rolled him aside, the crackling fist centimeters from his face, prickling his skin with energy discharge. His evasive maneuver took him out onto the balcony, closer to the other orcs. They turned, glowering and snarling. The creature that had attacked almost blocked the whole entrance with its bulk. It was dressed in a thick hide coat, reinforced with straps of metal and rivets the size of a man's fist. It wore a kilt of the same and heavy steel-capped boots up to its knees. It swung the power claw again, forcing Beast Cruel to duck. The assassin fired the stolen orc gun, blasting a fusillade directly into the chest of the alien, blocking his escape. Metal and leather turned to smoke and steam, and flesh boiled as the orc stumbled back, staggering to one knee. With just a split second to act, Beast Cruel leapt. Using the knee of the downed orc as a step, he vaulted over the wounded alien. It snatched at his ankle as he passed, but momentum carried him over its shoulder. Landing heavily, he tumbled to his feet and started running. Action cleared away his dread. A fresh purpose filled him. Anger at himself for his weakness spurred him to renewed effort. Cruel's mind still burned with what he had seen in the temple chamber, and with images of what would happen when that army was unleashed against the unsuspecting space marines. They were so close now, Courland could almost reach out and touch the immense walls of the central citadel. Progress had been slow, tortuous even. Every meter gained inside the brute shield, paid for with death and hardship. And the warriors of the Emperor had paid dearly. Of the space marines that had survived to reach the surface of Olinor, a third had been lost. Amongst the ranks of the Astra Militarum, the casualty rate was at nearly 50%. Following the psycho-bolstered offensive of the orcs, stopped only by Vulcan's direct intervention, the Adeptus Mechanicus had suffered even more. The host of Mars had been reduced to a handful of Titans and seven fully functional knights, and these war machines could not pass the brute shield unmolested. Countless orcs had fallen, their bodies a green carpet under the boots of the Space Marines and the treads of Astra Militarum tanks. Where days before they had clashed over a broken field of rubble, now the Emperor's servants and the great beast savages contested for piles of blood and bones, mounds of shattered vehicles, and burning gargant wrecks. If the next kilometer was anything like the last, there would barely be any Imperial force left to break into the Citadel proper. "Nothing worth fighting for was taken easily," Vulcan told him, perhaps sensing his mood. "The orcs have bled as much as us. More, much more." "We have been too slow, Lord Vulcan. Too slow." Courland smashed a fist into the palm of his other hand. "They are massing behind us. Three landing sites have been overrun. Two more are surrounded." "It was never our intention to leave," the Primarch reminded him. He seemed more than resigned to this fact, rejuvenated almost. Vulcan had shown more heart for the fight after the disastrous landing than before. The Lord Commander had suspicions about the Primarch's motives, but his doubts were vague and of no consequence to the immediate future. Courland looked up at the forbidding city palace and the ring of walls, turrets, towers, and gatehouses. Idol statues topped some of the buildings, of polished gold and chrome. Huge standards, the equal in size of any Titan kill banner, flapped against the ramparts. And cannons. Cannons by the hundred. His gaze slid further upwards to the oppressive half-seen crackling dome of the brute shield. The Lord Commander felt claustrophobic looking at it. He could not shake the idea that, like the rest of Olinor, its intent was not so much to keep attackers out, but to trap them within. Inside, with a great beast. The brute shield had shrunk a few kilometers, its generators overrun by the Imperial advance. But it still protected the inner city from the ships in orbit, as did the massive guns, missiles, and energy cannons within. "We have to get into the Citadel," Courland declared. He selected the channel to address the chapter masters and other force commanders. "Prepare for the final assault."